welcome to the Green Country Gardener program right here on K1, the one you trust. Today's program is brought to you by Jensen Tractor Ranch, Green Thumb Nursery, Peter's True Value, and United Rentals. Get ready to sharpen your shovels. It is now 8:08. Welcome. It's the Green Country Gardener. Larry Glass is with you. I'm Tom Davis. Our phone line once again is 1-800-749-5936. How you doing on this Labor Day weekend, Larry?
All right. Yes, doing very well.
What do we got lined up here for today?
Well, hopefully less hot weather coming on.
We do have a little bit of a cool week, and we might even see some more rain. Looks like Monday night, Tuesday,
yes,
Wednesday.
I'll believe that when I'm wet outside.
Okay.
Which is fine because we got almost finished with the project, and the rain really won't be in the way.
Good.
Yeah. Got all our concrete poured, all of our stone put in, and all that turned out really nice. So we're excited about that.
Your summer has been kind of a mixed blessing. It's either been hotter than you know what or wetter than you know what.
Yeah, that makes it difficult to maintain any kind of schedule. Forget it. Yes, we'll be out there. Yes, when the rain and the heat. Anyway, fall is going to be in the air this week. The heat will be off. So it's time to get to work. Yes, really. And mums are on the way. Yeah, so we'll have some pretty soon. Mm-hmm. But by the time the cool weather hits this week, we'll have a good supply of mums coming in.
Good.
And the pansies are on the way. We got our cabbage and kale plants in, so they're in too.
Good.
So flowering cabbage and kale.
Gotcha. Yeah. Difference.
They're still edible too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they look good.
I was watching an episode of Star Trek.
Okay.
And then they are on this foreign planet somewhere. And Riker was eating kale. He's like, oh, come on. they have kale on Venus, too. Okay. Yeah. All right. We got a color?
Yeah. You've seen Jonathan Frakes lately? I don't think he's been eating kale.
No.
All righty. Let's go to the phones here real quick. Good morning and welcome aboard. And you're on the air with the Green Country Gardener. Your comment or question, please.
Yes, I'm wanting to find out when we need to put the weed killer on Bermuda grass to kill crabgrass and maybe clover.
Okay, the crabgrass and clover, they typically sprout in the spring, so you want to use your herbicide early in the spring on that.
Okay.
St. Patrick's Day is about the best time. Clover, you might want to go a little bit earlier than that, perhaps February, because the clover will sprout up in cooler weather.
And this can be purchased at your store?
We have some. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Very good. Thank you very much for calling. And you can be next in line, too, if you'd like, at 1-800-749-5936.
Yeah, we carry several formulations of prodiamine,
yeah,
which is a very effective pre-emergent herbicide. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And also, one way to battle those weeds is to make sure your yard is well fertilized.
Oh, okay, good.
And that way the grass is the dominant species in the lawn because you do everything right for the grass, and you'll have fewer weeds, actually, that way. So,
all right.
So there's no excuse for having weeds. Either you're not fertilizing enough or the grass isn't high enough or your neighbors have a lot of weeds, which is in my case.
Okay.
Those weeds come flying up from the south in our neighborhood from somebody who works here at the radio station.
Oh, really? That guy, huh?
Yeah, that guy. Yeah.
That guy.
So anyway, back at the nursery, we'll have mums anywhere from the 4-inch to the 2-gallon size, and we'll have something to fit your needs, size, and color.
Good.
So fall is on the way, so we'll have all kinds of good stuff to look at in the fall.
Sweet.
So also we have stuff on sale at the nursery, too. Four-inch annuals, but not much any annuals left anyway. But we'll have pansies pretty soon for annuals. And tropical hibiscus is on sale, and 4.5-inch perennials. Come by and check out our monarch butterfly factory, if you will.
I understand that. I haven't seen it yet, so I'm going to have to do that. But I understand that's really something to behold.
We have people come in, and they can actually see the metamorphosis that happens. And now and then we've got one of our employees, Dan, is real good with the with the monarchs.
Mm-hmm.
And he brings in stuff for people to see. And it's really quite a view, if you will. It's cool. Very interesting to see how these insects go from being just a little tiny little egg.
Uh-huh.
It's a little green egg. So if you have any butterfly weeds or parsley or something like that, uh-huh. you see these little green spots on it, chances are those are monarch butterfly eggs.
Hmm.
And then they hatch and they get these little worms that eat up all the plants. So we have to constantly feed these caterpillars. They have a voracious appetite.
Uh-huh.
They grow fairly large, actually.
Yeah, they do.
And they shed their skin, actually, many times in the process of growing like this.
Wow.
And then their skin sheds and they kind of hang on this on the branch of the plant mm-hmm. and turn into this J shape. And they just turn into a chrysalis, which is absolutely fascinating, too.
Mm-hmm.
And then after a few days, out pops a monarch butterfly.
Wow.
And a big old butterfly fits in this little tiny little chrysalis. And he just unfolds, mm-hmm. flaps his wings, and dries off a little bit. And then we reach in and let him light on your finger. We take him outside, and they immediately go to the butterfly weed plant. And, oh, yum, yum, yum.
So they know the routine just coming out of the chrysalis, huh? Wow, do, that's cool.
It's a fascinating process to watch that.
Wow.
So anyway, if you're in your garden and you happen to see a fairly large caterpillar,
mm-hmm.
Look at it very carefully before you get out the bug spray.
Yeah.
Because they're doing that right now. Mm-hmm. They look at the lateral stripes on it. It has mm-hmm. stripes that are like a belt around your, but lots of them.
Lots of them.
That are yellow and green and yellow and white and green and black. And they have two sets of antennae on the front and the back.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess you get better internet reception that way.
A Wi-Fi butterfly. Yeah, what do you think?
Yeah, this caterpillar has 5G. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, so you kind of watch out for those, and they grow very quickly and they eat a lot of stuff. So they make it's an interesting thing. So anyway, in the garden right now, it's a great time to plant trees. We just got a 25 brand new trees in yesterday. A couple of ginkgos and some maples, pistache and elms and uh-huh. oaks. Got a really nice looking water oak that came in. And several other varieties for some fall color. So nice fresh trees. We got those in right now. And golly, with the weather coming up at the end of the week, I think it'll put people in the mood to actually plant some trees. That poor air conditioning compressor is going to have a little bit of a break towards the end of the week.
Oh, my.
So anyway, we've got some of those, and some, and they're all container-grown trees. Mm-hmm. So they're very easy to manage. They're not so heavy, and we can deliver them to you at no charge. And if you really don't feel like digging a hole, we can do that for you, too. So let's so check them out. So that's coming in new. And some new shrubs are coming in as well. So we're getting ready for fall. We're pretty excited about that.
Changing season, it's a kind of exciting time around there.
Right. So it's time to consider fertilizing your trees and shrubs okay. for the fall. It's a good time to give that trees a little fall dose of fertilizer.
Mm-hmm.
And use something that's specifically geared towards trees.
Uh-huh.
That'll do pretty well that way. And Miller Organite works very well, too. I like to use that. We're using it on a landscape project, too. Mm-hmm. And for 2 days, it's kind of smelly.
Hoo-ah!
No, but it goes away after a while.
Mm-hmm.
So and I think it helps keep the animals and the critters away, too. So we've got that, too, to use. I think so. I think somebody came and wiped this out this week. We might not have any.
Yeah.
If not, we'll have it on Thursday. So anyway, yeah. Just tree fertilizers. Good to do. Also, in your lawn, it's time to install that fescue seed.
Mm.
And you really can't plant fescue on our heavy soil. You do need to prepare the soil prior to doing that. Take your shovel, scrape the rust off of it, and stick it in the ground. And if you have to jump on it to get it to go into the ground, well, you probably need to do some ground prep because the seeds will just kind of run off in the rain that's coming on this week. And so it's a good idea to roughen up the soil a bit when you do plant the grass seed.
Yeah. Work that dirt.
Yeah, get the tiller out. you scrape the rust off of it and crank it up.
Kick it around.
Kick it around a little bit, get it out there going too. We carry a five-star blend of fescue grass, and it's a blend, and you get different colors, not necessarily or with green, of course, but different textures of grass and different heights. And out of the five, two or three of them at least will succeed in your lawn. Mm-hmm. So, but anyway, that's kind of why we like to use a blend. Mm-hmm. We've had some good feedback on the five-star blend, and it makes a really nice lawn too. But you have to have either good soil, or you have to prepare the terrible soil you live in for it to work. And in the shade, you need to have some dappled light.
Okay.
Dappled light means you look out the window over there, and with the tree canopy, you've got to have some spots of sunshine going through for the grass to do well. It's shade grass isn't necessarily shade requiring, it's shade tolerant.
That makes a difference in your understanding.
The important term is tolerant. You can go to these big box stores and say, oh, this is shade grass, yeah. But no. It won't grow under the deck.
No, it won't.
No, and it won't grow under the trees unless you have some degree of sunshine over there. And if you don't, you might jump up in the tree and maybe thin out the branches a little bit. Or raise up. What? I can see you jumping up in a tree.
Yeah, you can. Can't you? You can.
That would be hilarious.
It would be.
Anyway, or raise up your canopy a little bit. Uh-huh. Now, the important thing is when you're standing right next to the trunk of the tree and you're looking out and you look up at a 30-degree angle from average person height.
Got it.
And you should be able to see at least some of the sky.
Sure.
In other words, 30-degree angle up from where you stand, there shouldn't be any branches over there. Then you'll get enough sunlight in there for your trees, for your grass, rather.
You just explained something really, really, really important, why our grass was dying under a great big oak tree.
Yeah, I mean, pin oaks are pretty bad about having descending branches.
Exactly.
And it's very difficult to, and they're shallow rooted, too.
Oh, yeah.
Two strikes against you right there, guy. Mm-hmm. And if you have shallow soil, the root system raises the soil level up, and it erodes away, and you've got all these roots on the ground.
Oh, yeah. They're visible.
Yeah. So you might want to invest in a load of dirt, too.
Yeah. We've been thinking about that.
However, we do have a solution for that, too. And that is you take some rounded rocks, and you make a circle around the tree.
That's what we did.
And then put ground covers and plants on the inside, and it makes a nice appearance around the tree. Mm-hmm. And I say use rounded rocks because the ground is going to shift a little bit under the roots.
It will.
And you don't want to put, a concrete-based edge around it because it'll just go break.
Boom.
Yeah, so that's why I say use the rounded rocks.
Yeah, that's what we've done.
Okay, good. Well,
we went to Larry 101 here.
You have to keep us informed as to how your bed under the tree is doing.
Yeah.
I had to do that in my house underneath a maple tree.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, the roots are, it's growing
same
up. And I just used some, I had enough rocks sitting around the house to do it. Except for one big one.
Yeah, that big old limestone going around slab that you're on.
And then I actually dug a ditch in the ground, which was a rather difficult thing to do, and extended my drip system to that area too.
Oh, wow.
So it gets
out pretty good.
A little bit of water on it, so that works out pretty well too.
We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back with a little bit more. You're listening to the Green Country Garden Program, and we'll be back after this 2-minute timeout.
It's no wonder Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is home to Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants. They have new inventory arriving weekly, including new shipments of hibiscus, shrubs, annuals, perennials, houseplants, and tropical plants, too. Every Wednesday at Green Thumb is discount day. Save on all regular priced items. Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants and more. That's Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses, open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, noon to 5 Sunday. Still offering curbside, pickup, and delivery service. Just call ahead. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nawata Road.
There's nothing better than homegrown family fun, and the Washington County Free Fair is celebrating 106 years of food, fun, and family entertainment this Tuesday through Saturday.
Come out and support the 4-H and FFA guys and gals as they show their livestock, horses, beef, dairy cattle, swine, sheep and goats, and darling rabbits and poultry, as well as the pets.
Check out the exhibits, from fruits and vegetables to art and photography, clothing, needlework, craft, and science projects. So much talent, so much hard work, all in one place.
Entry day is this Tuesday, judging on Wednesday.
The free fair is open to the public this Thursday and Friday from 9 to 9 and Saturday, 9 to 3.
I always look forward to the Cattle Women's Pie and Basket Auction on Thursday night at 6 p.m., as well as the Pet and Dog Show is Friday night.
For details, go to countycourthouse.org. Click under the County Information tab and select Fairgrounds and Free Fair.
It's all in Dewey at the Washington County Free Fair this Tuesday through Saturday. Join the homegrown family fun.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. Brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
Good morning, and welcome back to the Green Country Gardener Program. Our phone line is open at 1-800-749-5936. Larry Glass is with us. And what do we have coming up here?
Well, we were talking about lawns.
Yeah.
And we talked about brushed on its establishing fescue grass.
Mm-hmm.
And fescue grass does need a certain degree of sunshine for it to do well.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to make sure that you have that as a prerequisite to going through all the expense and effort to put in.
Make it happen,
it's
yeah.
It's the same thing with fescue sod, too. We've installed fescue sod, and we've done some in the shade, but we did a significant, on this one house, this is years ago we did one. I hate to say how long ago it was.
It was some time back.
I'm embarrassed to say how long it was. And we put in 99, I remember this because it just stuck with me, 99 bags of compost.
Wow.
On this front yard. And prepared the soil real well, put in a sprinkler system, and laid down the fescue sod. And it still looks good.
Wow.
Yeah. So the important thing is, and the house next door looks like, you know.
The house next door.
Like bald, you know. There's no grass on it. But we went to the extra effort to prepare the soil like that with a tiller and get it all like growing turnips. Just getting particularly turnips, it's time for that too.
It is.
But anyway, we got that and we used and I instructed them how to fertilize, how often to fertilize and so on, and how to run the sprinkler timer for the optimal amount of water. Don't water it every day. That's the last thing you want to do is water grass every day. You do need to let a dry out period in between waterings. And you kind of want to wean it away from that initial establishment watering. Over the shorter the period of time, the better. So it can establish a good deep root system. So it's not so dependent on that sprinkler system. But anyway, so it did very well, and they were very happy with it. And it's still, they moved out, and the people, and it's still there. The grass is still there. So it's very important to get that soil preparation done. I can't emphasize that anymore.
Very good.
So. Fertilizing, it's the absolute very last time to fertilize that Bermuda grass. It's going to start shutting down. Imagine with the weather coming up this week, the low is going to be 48.
We're going to have a couple of those nights.
Yeah, it's going to be time to go to sleep. There you go, Bermuda grass will be snoring away. So you really don't want to emphasize a lot of rapid growth. Maybe some 10-20-10 or something, just to usher it into the winter. We discussed the last time to fertilize about a month ago in August. It's time to do that. So if you didn't, well, it's not a big deal if you didn't do that. But Bermuda grass is Bermuda grass.
It's going to Bermuda.
Exactly. So it doesn't really, you don't have to do that. And as far as mowing height, you still want to keep it fairly high on the Bermuda. You really don't want to cut it really, really low. Because I looked at some forecast and say we're going to have a bit of a zinger this winter. So you want to make sure your grass is prepared for
a bit of a zinger?
A bit of a zinger, yes.
Are you talking like
cold?
Okay.
Yeah. So, and with the 48-degree weather coming up, I think that's kind of a bit of a premonition as to what might happen this winter.
Wednesday night.
We need to get
there.
Kevin in here. We need to have a bet as to when the first freeze is going to be. I think he still owes me 2 prime rib dinners.
Yeah, from last year?
about 15 years ago.
Oh, 15 years. Not like you're keeping score.
I had to give one up. I lost a bet. He owed me 3. So. But anyway, the persimmons are putting on some fruit.
Uh-huh.
So we'll be able to look at the seeds, whether it's a spoon or a fork, and see what the weather's going to be this winter. Mm-hmm. So that's... That's usually been a pretty good guess as to what's going to happen. And I was at a house, and the persimmons were starting to develop in amongst the tent caterpillars. They were putting on some fruit. So,
Young Larry's Almanac. That's what we're going to be
Exactly. So, anyway, with all that in mind, we want to make sure we do a good job of planning for your landscape. Mm-hmm. Landscaping is an expensive undertaking.
It is.
So you want to make sure you get everything right the first time. And we do offer that as far from a design standpoint. We do offer that. And you can actually see what it looks like.
You got a neat little, a CAD setup?
It's a CAD program.
Yeah. And it's one of the darndest things because, you know, you're thinking about what you might want to put in your yard. Larry puts it together for you. Next thing you know, wow, that's a pretty good...
Yeah.
That's...
You can see what it looks like, and you say, Larry, that looks like garbage. Come up with something else. Yeah. Okay. No. I don't know, but really, it makes it a good way to be able to visualize what's coming up and what it's going to look like in the landscape. So, and that's a good thing to know. It's kind of like you don't go to a car dealership and buy a car without looking at it.
No.
And test driving it so that, well, you've got the ability to look at it and test drive your landscape. So that's kind of fun. I've got some drawings on the drawing board right now. And it looks like with the weather, I'll be able to do some presentations this week.
Cool.
We'll be out there slaving in the heat.
Oh, man.
So anyway, it's a good idea. And planning doesn't cost anything. It's just a good idea to have that on hand. And you give me a little bit of time to get it done up because it does take a while to do this. So trees, we talked about trees we got coming in at the nursery, and trees, you want to make them work in the landscape. Trees provide shade, color, architectural accentuation, and provide habitats for wildlife. I was at a house last week looking at their landscape up front, which was pretty desperate. But anyway, they planted a maple tree not 8 feet from the house. That's way, way, way too close. It's kind of a silver kind of maple.
Okay.
And that was, I didn't mention that to them, but it was not the right place to put a tree. So you be very careful about it and ask, you know, how far away do I want to plant this tree from the house? Mm-hmm. You got to consider we do have some storms here. And when the tree gets fairly large, you can get some damage from the storms. And not necessarily the whole tree will fall, but parts of it will fall. So 15 feet is the absolute closest to the house.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have 15 feet, you might consider a smaller tree. There are some smaller trees you can plant, such as red buds and Chinese pistache. And there's a Chinese elm that doesn't get too large, that you can have a tree like that. So keep that in mind, too. And there's also some smaller maples. Mm-hmm. There's the Acer truncatum, or the Shantung maple.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a huge tree, and it does give you some good fall color. And they're very sturdy, good growth habit on them too. So there are some that don't just get so big that have fall color on it that you can plant in that danger zone, if you will. So at least if we do get a 95 mile an hour wind, it won't, and it does break up, it won't be have so much mass that it will break the house, if you will. So be very careful about where they're planted.
Alrighty.
Oh, there's the Amer maple too, that's a good one.
Yeah.
But it's kind of low branching, though. So you might want to consider putting a bed around that or something when you do plant an Amer maple. But the fall color on those is just absolutely spectacular.
Eye popper, huh?
Like your coat, your shirt you got on.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Or those buttons over there.
Yeah. Kind of match my little red nose. It's 8:32. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more of the Green Country Gardener program after this two-minute timeout.
Time to paint a house before fall hits. Peters True Value in Dewey has Easy Care Ultra Premium or Easy Care Platinum interior or exterior paint for $15 off each gallon you buy. For $15.99 per gallon, you can get Zinsser interior and exterior primer sealer. Save $4 with mail-in rebate. Pick up a 32-gallon Rubbermaid trash can for $17.99. Pick up a 1.1 gallon of ready-to-use Ortho Insect Killer for $9.99, saving $3 with instant in-store rebate. Hurry to Peter's True Value in Dewey and save.
A teacher takes a hand, opens a mind, and touches a heart. Hi, this is Pastor D at Spirit Church, encouraging you to go out of your way to thank a school teacher today. I'm the son of two educators and a product of Bartlesville Public Schools. Teachers were underappreciated, overworked, and underpaid before anyone heard of COVID-19. Today, the courage and creativity of our teachers is remarkable. Would you take a moment and write a note, lift up a prayer, or post something positive about a teacher? Your encouragement will mean so much. Let's share a little love and joy and peace today.
Hey, y'all, Jeff Foxworthy here. Now, if you've ever found yourself repeating the same thing over and over for 75 years, you might be Smokey Bear.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
That's why I'm filling in for Smokey to switch things up, because there's a lot more to say. And I should know, because my grandfather was a firefighter. And one of the things he taught me is that the people that love the outdoors the most are often the ones accidentally starting wildfires, which means always BYOB. No, bring your own bucket to the campfire. And be extra careful with things like burning yard trimmings. Don't just walk away, or chances are you might be starting a wildfire. So for the love of the outdoors, go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Good morning and welcome back to the Green Country Gardening Program. It is 8:35. Phone lines are open at 1-800-749-5936. And Larry Glass, where are we here in the segment?
The tree of the week. Quercus acutissima.
That's nothing to bark about.
Yeah. And golly, see, anybody can call and tell us what that is.
Oh,
ooh, yeah. Call us up. Anyway.
I don't even know.
It gets about 40 to 60 feet tall, has a broad spreading rounded crown. Mm-hmm. This tree is tough.
Durable, huh?
Durable. Yes, it is. It's a very tough, durable plant. If you have a tree, you want a really good sized tree in an area that can be kind of difficult.
Mm-hmm.
This is one species you might consider.
Okay.
Because it does tolerate, and there are some good examples planted, you know, where Southern Hills mm-hmm. is over there along Madison mm-hmm. Boulevard between Price and Millwater Road mm-hmm. there. There's a whole row of them planted there. Mm-hmm. And they started out looking kind of punky. But they've really grown up nicely.
Mm-hmm.
And no care, you know, at all. And look underneath the trees, too. Mm-hmm. And look at the lack of exposed root system underneath them. So they're fairly deeply rooted trees. So, and they've done really quite well without any care at all. So it's one plant. If you have something where you want a really nice big oak tree,
mm-hmm.
the sawtooth oak, just revealed the name.
Whoops.
The sawtooth oak is a good one for a situation where you might have a bit of a challenge growing a tree.
Got it.
This leaf is kind of interesting. It's rather long. It's kind of strap-like leaf, and mm-hmm. it has some little try-to-be thorns on the edge. Mm-hmm. The drawback of this tree might be the fact that the leaves persist somewhat into the winter, kind of like a pin oak.
Mm-hmm.
And the fall color really isn't overly spectacular,
mm-hmm.
but if the conditions are right, it can have some pretty nice fall color on it. Mm-hmm. But it's noted for its toughness.
Got it.
And that's a good attribute to have. Parallels to that might be the English oak, believe it or not, sounds. Oh, the English oak, yes.
The English oak.
But it's a pretty tough plant. And the white oak, the swamp white oak, is another one. Quercus alba is another good one. Mm-hmm. That'll work quite well in a situation like that. We planted some white oaks around town, and they're noted for the tips of the leaves not having a little thorn on them, which is typical of the white oak group. Mm-hmm. And the vertical striated bark, it kind of vertical kind of cuts in it, and it's kind of whitish in color. Mm-hmm. And the underside of the leaf also is kind of whitish in color too. So it's an interesting tree. So there are some variations in the oaks that'll grow here, mm-hmm. that are fairly deeply rooted, and some that'll give you some good color. If you want one with some good color, you might consider the northern red oak. Now, what I like about the northern red oak is it looks a little bit like a pin oak or a Schumard oak, but its branching structure is somewhat more ascending, mm-hmm. as opposed to a lot of some of the others that kind of go down to the ground as some ascends up, if you will. Mm-hmm. And the leaves, even in the drought, the leaves are fairly glossy, mm-hmm. and a darkish, kind of a bluish green color. So it's a really attractive tree. There are some growing in the limestone hills of Sooner Park, doing quite well. And there's one over by the telephone exchange over there on the Madison, with the old, I don't know what it is now, but on the west side of this stone building that nobody knows what it is. Across from the old folks home there on Adams, right by Madison there. There's this. It's just east of the Phillips Station.
Got it.
East of that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And anyway, it's done very well with zero care at all.
Wow.
On top of a stone bluff. So anyway, there are some really tough trees you can have that last a long time. Mm-hmm. And despite having a lot of exposure to the wind in that situation, this particular tree has held up very well without any problems, with no care. So
that's just a tree being a tree.
Right. So anyway, the red oak group, the sawtooth oak, the northern red oak, the Schumard oak, all are good trees to have, but they get big. So they need to be a bit away from the house and also away from utilities.
That's important.
Prior to, even thinking, you say, well, I want a tree. First thing you want to do is call 811 and get your yard flagged. Mm-hmm. You know where the lines are.
Yeah, you don't want to have an accident like that.
No, and anyway, that'll kind of tell you if there are too many lines in the way, then it'll have some effect on what kind of tree you picked out. And also the location of your sewer line. Typically, there's a little white pipe-like thing, mm-hmm. with a square cap. A cap with a square little knob on it. Mm-hmm. That's your sewer clean out. And typically it goes straight out from the house, perpendicular, mm-hmm. to that, typically. And you don't want to plant over that either.
No, that's
you'll
a surprise.
Make sure that's clear also.
That's a surprise you don't want to have. No.
So by the time you get the phone line over there, the cable line, the electric line, the gas line, and the sewer line all tagged, and then you got the distance from the house you want to be and the distance, mm-hmm. from the property line. There's an area, probably about the size of a checkerboard, mm-hmm. that you can plant your tree in.
Just make sure you've done your due diligence before you plant that tree.
And also, at the same time, you want this tree to work for you in the landscape. Mm-hmm. In other words, you want some shade on the patio perhaps in the afternoon. Or in the case of my house, I put a pistache tree to the west side of the driveway. Mm-hmm. And so nice to come home and the truck's not in the hot sun. it shades that real well.
There you go.
Or, you know, something like that. Mm-hmm. And we've done some plantings where the driveway, mm-hmm. is shaded, mm-hmm. in the afternoon. And it makes it really nice to, mm-hmm. not have your cars really hot when you decide to go out to dinner. And it's not... like fried chicken inside.
No.
So you want to. So that's kind of with trees now. Well, we talked about fertilizing, mm-hmm. the trees. It's kind of time to do that. When you first plant your trees, also, mm-hmm. you want to perhaps establish a ring around it where the grass doesn't come right up to it. Mm-hmm. And the main reason for that is when you mow the grass, you don't want to injure that part of the trunk. Mm-hmm. And I've seen that done a lot of times, especially in commercial properties, mm-hmm. where they go in and they put the grass right up to the tree, and then Oh, these guys, they mow a mile a minute.
And then
they take the weed eater and around the tree, and eventually that wears away the bark and the tree dies. I've seen it so many times on commercial properties.
Yeah.
So you want to put a ring around it to protect that from happening. We did that over at the Union Bank building.
Mm-hmm.
We did that landscape. We put a bunch of trees in, and they have a steel edge ring around it. We put mulch in the middle, and they're doing beautifully. It's third year in the ground, and they're growing up really nice, no problems. And the landscapers are doing a very good job of maintaining it around the steel edge and keeping the mulch up on the trees. And it dresses it up a little bit, too.
Very good.
So keep that in mind also. What are you going to do to it later on as the tree grows? How am I going to maintain around this tree?
Mm-hmm.
That's a very important factor, the health of the tree for it to do well.
Very good. Let's take a quick break. We will have a little bit more. It's 8:43. You're listening to the Green Country Gardener Program with Larry Glass. And we'll be back after this two-minute timeout.
It's no wonder Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is home to Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants. They have new inventory arriving weekly, including new shipments of hibiscus, shrubs, annuals, perennials, houseplants, and tropical plants, too. Every Wednesday at Green Thumb is discount day. Save on all regular priced items. Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants and more. That's Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses, open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, noon to 5 Sunday. Still offering curbside, pickup, and delivery service. Just call ahead. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nawata Road.
Hello, this is Tim from United Reynolds. This is a great community, a lot of local business here that we want to take care of. Everybody that is at our branch now lives in Bartlesville. Everybody here from our outside salespeople, our manager, we are all local people. It's nice. I think people are starting to realize that Bartlesville United Reynolds, although it is a corporation, we're local. We're up here on the southeast corner of Highway 60 and 75, 3801 Nawata Road, United Reynolds, 918-333-9580.
Melissa Wandel was 9 months pregnant with her first child when her husband Mark was killed in a car accident. His life insurance made a huge difference for Melissa and her daughter Madison.
I wasn't going to have to worry about going to work every day, leaving her in the hands of somebody else, struggling day by day to get by.
A message from the Nonprofit Life Foundation.
Thank you for starting your day with K1 Morning News.
Today is gonna be a good day.
Keep going what you're doing. You're the best on radio.
My respect, you guys. You guys are always top of your class.
Today is gonna be a good day.
K1, AM 1400 and 93.3 FM.
A good day.
And online at BartlesvilleRadio.com.
Speaking of those Rolling Stones, Papa was one.
I remember that song. That was back in the 60s. Maybe 70s? I don't know.
70s, I think it was.
70s. Okay.
Yeah. It is 8:46, and it's the Green Country Gardener program. And Larry, what do we have next on our list?
We talked about lawns and trees. Now let's talk about shrubs.
Shrubs.
And our shrub of the week is the compact Nandina. People go, oh, no, he's talking about now. They spread and grow all over the place. No.
The compact Nandina.
Well, actually, the compact Nandina will to a degree. But the Moon Bay Nandina, the Gulf Stream Nandina, they pretty much stay in bounds. They clump together, if you will. Kind of like some of the bamboos. Uh-huh. They clump. They don't spread.
Good.
And same thing with Liriope, otherwise known as monkey grass.
Monkey grass.
Monkey grass. Yeah. The variegated liriope, the silvery sunproof, clumps. It doesn't spread all over the place. And the new Nandinas, Gulf Stream, the Moon Bay, and the Obsession Nandina.
Yeah.
Obsession. It had. They maintain a pretty good color all summer long, and they don't spread all over the place like the others.
Mm-hmm.
The dwarf Nandina is kind of a workhorse in the landscape, too. It's real small and compact. And I was at a house yesterday, and I said, you know, you really need to cut back these dwarf Nandinas. They're kind of outgrowing their welcome. And I said, you want to do that around any time between Valentine's Day and St. Patrick's Day? How tall should I cut them? I said, about that tall. She goes, No, but they come back real nicely.
They do. Yes.
So anyway, they turn a pretty color in the fall and the winter, which is what I like about the Nandinas. Mm-hmm. And you use them here and there in the landscape for some winter color.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of insignificant in the summer, if you will, especially the dwarf Nandinas. There's a so what kind of a plant, big mm-hmm. deal. But in the wintertime, it's when they do their work, when they turn this red color. So anyway, you associate that with other plants that stay green, such as boxwoods and bugle pines,
mm-hmm.
et cetera, et cetera. Yuccas even, they really pop out nicely in the landscape. So you have this multi-season interest
mm-hmm.
with this particular one. So anyway, one of the primary attributes of the Nandina is its ability to ward off insects. It really doesn't have any problem with bugs.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing with diseases. Now, on the dwarf Nandina, occasionally you'll have a little bit of anthracnose of the leaf,
mm-hmm.
which isn't much of a problem. In fact, if anything, it enhances the leaf color. And now and then on your dwarf Nandinas, you'll see part of the leaf kind of brown or whatever, kind mm-hmm. of browned out a little bit. And that's typically what happens when we have a lot of humid weather. The dwarf Nandina is about the only one that really exhibits this small, minor little mm-hmm. problem. So it's not that big a deal. But if anything, that does enhance the coloring of the leaf, too, in the fall and winter. So basically, across the board, the Nandinas really don't have much of any problems. The only real problem they have is they get kind of big and old and crusty, and they need to be cut back. Now, this last
you don't want to have any funky, cold Nandinas.
Oh, no. Yeah, this spring, I took my... either they're Gulf Streams or Moonbeams, I don't know. When we moved into the house 15 years ago, mm-hmm. they didn't tell me what variety Nandina they were, but they're either one of those two. Uh-huh. And this winter, they looked particularly clubby, if you will.
Clubby.
Clubby, yes.
Ooh, clubby.
So I cut them back rather extremely, and they've come back really, really nice.
Good.
They make really good little shrubs.
Mm-hmm.
And I left, and then there's a crepe myrtle, there's a ring of them around a crepe myrtle, a big, tall crepe myrtle. Mm-hmm. And I left the ones at height behind the crepe myrtle. So it kind of backdrops the trunking of the crepe myrtle real mm-hmm. nicely. And those in front kind of preface it, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And it made a really nice composition. And I thought, oh no, these look terrible. They're not going to, they came back beautifully.
Oh, good.
So anyway, and I know they're at least 30 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I have some dwarf yaupon hollies that are that old too. But they're about 10 inches tall.
Mm-hmm.
And every spring, I take the diesel-powered hedge clippers. And basically, the key thing to making the dwarf yaupon holly can get too big.
It can.
But the key thing to keeping them looking nice is to just shear them flat across the top. Don't make like this microphone cover.
Yeah, you don't try to dome the thing.
No,
don't
no,
try
no.
to the, make it you know,
a little
pretty.
Ball or thing. No, because you'd be fighting
give,
it.
Just give it a flat top like Joe Friday.
Just
you know?
Absolutely. I remember that show. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, just a flat top.
There are people under the age of 45 going, what?
Dun, 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 dun. Anyway, yeah. And so just cut them flat across the top. And that keeps them low, a kind of a low mounded shape.
Yeah.
And just once a year is all it takes. So, to keep them cut back.
There you go.
So, yeah, that's kind of it with that. But anyway, the Nandina is a very diverse grouping of plants. There are some that look like little, the leaves are like little needles. They're very fine, very, mm-hmm. very kind of a specimen-y kind of thing. There's some areas where you can't use that. It'll be kind of hard to see, actually, in the black tire mulch or something. It'll mm-hmm. kind of disappear.
Where'd it go?
Yeah, where is it? It's kind of hides in there.
We planted something there in March.
So, we did that one time. We put some lauropetalums in, and we started with the cedar mulch. And the customer said, oh, no, I don't want that. I want the black mulch. I said, okay. Well, we put the black mulch around, and the lauropetalums disappeared.
Where'd they go?
They're there. You couldn't see them for the dark mulch. They're a real dark purple color.
Uh-huh.
And, oh, well, we got some yellow plants we can put in. But anyway.
For accent.
Yeah, they'll show up a little better. So kind of keep the texture of the plant in mind.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing you don't want to use Nandina is in front of brick.
Yeah.
Because it's the texture... it's too close to that, and it's a little difficult to see, and they just don't show up very well. They do very well in front of stone, mm-hmm. or say in front of boxwoods or something, but directly in front of brick is just a no-no. You just don't do that.
It's just one of those things. I have to tell you why.
So the compact Nandina, that incorporates a wide variety of different mm-hmm. different kinds of plants, and they're not the old fashioned Nandinas anymore. They won't spread everywhere. So, and what I like about them is their carefree nature.
That's good. It's always good to have.
Yeah, and they do respond very well to fertilization. Mm-hmm. So they are a member of the barberry family, which barberry is the ones that have the obnoxious thorns on it. Mm-hmm. The common trait between the Nandina and the barberry is when you do cut them, the wood down below is characteristically yellow in color. Mm. Very similar to the barberry plant, mm-hmm. which is across the board. And then Mahonias are the same thing. They have yellow wood in there, if you will. And so that's how you tell it's a member of the barberry family.
That's how you tell they're related, folks.
So the barberry family is not necessarily those that have thorns, but there are some plants in that same group that don't have thorns, but have some different attributes. So anyway.
We'll be right back. We've got to take this one last time out, and we have more of the Green Country Gardener program on the way after this 2.5-minute timeout.
From the time Frank Phillips completed his magnificent lodge home at Willow Rock in 1925 until Jane's death in 1948, they entertained the rich and the famous from all over the world. Their guests included wealthy business legends such as John D. Rockefeller and Henry Sinclair, politicians such as President Harry Truman and President Herbert Hoover, entertainers Rudy Valli, Will Rogers, and Rubinoff, famous authors such as Edna Ferber, pilot Wiley Post, Elliot Roosevelt, son of President Roosevelt. The list goes on and on. As we look back on the parties and the stories and the deals that were being done at the lodge, we realize that it truly was the Great Gatsby of the Midwest. To most of Frank's guests who were visiting from the East or West Coast, and many times from Europe, they were truly seeing a glimpse of the Wild West that they had heard so much about. While in fact that era was long over by then, Frank Phillips loved the history and wanted to do everything he could to make sure that his guests received their money's worth during their visit to his lodge and to Willow Rock. With that in mind, it was not unusual for a carload of his guests to arrive at the gates of Willow Rock in their large black sedans and be stopped by masked bandits on horseback, taken from their cars and robbed of their wallets, jewelry, and purses, and then sent on their way by the thieves. What those guests didn't realize is that these were employees of Frank's who hurried back to the lodge on horseback, arriving well ahead of the cars. When the guests arrived at the lodge and burst into the house, telling their wild and terrifying story to Frank, he would smile and point to the table in the living room where the stolen loot was on display, compliments of Uncle Frank. Once their blood pressure had returned to normal, they too enjoyed Frank's welcome to the ranch joke. They came to see the Wild West, and Frank Phillips obliged in true Oklahoma fashion. And they left Willow Rock with stories that likely got bigger and bigger and bigger over the years. That same magic continues still today at this national treasure. Welcome home to Willow Rock.
Listen to K1 anywhere and with Amazon Echo.
Alexa, tune to KWON Bartlesville.
Getting station KWON.
One more way to enjoy your favorite station. K1 AM 1400 and FM 93.3.
And we're back to the Green Country Gardener program with Larry Glass and that thing he does. What you got going on there, Larry?
Oh, we were talking about Nandinas.
Yep.
And touched on dwarf yelpon hollies a little bit. They're really good shrubs to have in the landscape. Mm-hmm. And another shrub I like to use is the variegated liriope. I mentioned it briefly, but it's a clump-forming liriope. Gives you some sparkle in the landscape, and actually they're blooming right now a little bit. They're blooming late this year. Typically they bloom earlier, but...
Like the last couple of weeks of August or something like that?
Yes. No, actually they bloom typically in early July or something.
Oh, wow.
But for some odd reason.
That's really late.
I guess it's the cooler weather we had this spring and the rain and all that, then mm-hmm. it quit and then it kind of shut down. And then the temperature goes down in the upper 90s for a high. Hey, it's getting cool. It's bloom.
Hey, hey.
So anyway, they're blooming a little late this year. But so, and also my Lycoris was in bloom this week.
Mm-hmm.
I was so excited. So people, what is that? Well, this is surprise lily.
Surprise lily.
And I really didn't remember planting it there.
Surprise.
Surprise. I think it came up. We were doing a landscape for somebody, and we came across some. They didn't want them.
Ooh.
So I took a couple home and let the guys take some of theirs home, and I think I just buried it in the ground, forgot all about it. And here it is. I took a picture of it, sent it to my daughter, and said, look, surprise lily. She goes, oh, yeah.
Surprise.
That's it. So that was kind of fun. But anyway, they're blooming. Some of them around town are blooming. I haven't checked the ones on the north side of the house yet. They'll probably bloom. I have some that I did deliberately plant there, so I should know where they are.
Yeah, be a surprise.
At the nursery, we've got BOGO on 4.5-inch annuals and 6-inch tropical hibiscus. 3- and 4-inch herbs, we got BOGO, buy one, get one. And some perennials, too, are on sale. Trees, 5- and 7-gallon trees are... They're marked out there with a flag, 30% off, and specially marked are 50% off. They're marked with a blue flag.
Mm.
So, and the 30% off 5- and 7-gallon trees does include Japanese maples.
Mm-hmm.
So perennials, 4.5-inch are $1 off, and gallon size are $1 off too.
Very good.
So we've got some things on sale. And ceramic pots are 30% off, and some select shrubs. The butterfly bushes, et cetera, are all on sale, too. So, anyway, before you do that, you want to make sure you have a good sharp shovel so you can so you can easily enjoy your landscape in our wonderful soil we have here. So, I think I'm a little early on the sign-off.
I got
another 10 seconds to go. So, anyway, come by the nursery. Check us out. We're on No Water Road, halfway between Madison and Washington Boulevard on the south side of the road. And now I can say, keep your shovel sharp. We'll see you next week.
All right. Have yourself a great holiday weekend, everyone. News is coming up next, right here on your favorite stations.
For residential and commercial plumbing, call Mason's Plumbing, where serving you is their priority. This is KWON Bartlesville and 93.3 FM K227 CQ Bartlesville.